Abroad, as the book of Acts tells us, of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So thank you, church, for your faithfulness of giving of your tithes and offerings, as well as giving above that to our missions program. The Lord will bless you and honor you for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask God's blessings on our tithes and offering. Brother Kevin, please pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we are so, so grateful for the many uncountable blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Mostly and above everything else, the salvation that we have and the hope that we have in you. It is at this time in our service, Lord, where we give back a small portion financially of what you have blessed us with. It's a small thing, Lord, that you ask. We do so with gladness in our heart and thanksgiving, and in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. You can remain seated for number 53, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Number 53, you got it on the screens.
So we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. If you would join us, if you're physically able to continue standing, if you need to sit, please don't feel bad about sitting while we're praying. If you're physically ill or weak in body, we perfectly understand that. But we'll go before the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our service this morning. And I want to share a special request. I'm not at liberty to share what it is yet. Maybe I can tonight in our evening service. But I have a preacher friend who is going through the ringer, and he could really use your prayer. The Lord knows who he is, and the Lord knows him by name. You can just say that pastor's preacher friend, but you pray for him and, as well as praying for our service this morning. Let's go before the Lord and ask God to do what only he can do in our midst today. Let's pray together. Father, we come before thy throne this morning with grateful hearts, but at times, even as believers, we can have heavy hearts. And right now, Father, I have a bit of a heavy heart for my friend. I pray that you'd bless him and his family, that you'd encourage and strengthen him, put a hedge about him and comfort him and help him and send him a very strong sense of love and embrace, Lord, for his family as he goes through this trying time, that you encourage him, strengthen him, protect him, his body, his family, protect his heart and his mind, Lord. I pray that you'd just help him. And now, Lord, I pray that you would bless our service this morning. It's so good to see our returning visitors and friends. So good to see Steve and Ann with us again this morning. I pray that you bless them and their physical health as they prepare to travel back to Florida later this week, that you give them traveling mercies and safety. So good to see other visitors, return visitors with us this morning. We pray your blessings upon them. And then now, Father, we pray that you would be with the men of Harvest and the men that are visiting with us this morning. Pray that you would help them, Father, put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, guard their heart, their eyes, their ears, their tongue, and help them to be godly men, not just at home, but in their community, at work, and here at church. I pray that you'd use them to make a difference. Help every man strive to be a source of encouragement to another gentleman, Lord, another young man in the Lord, that they might encourage them, as your word promises and tells us that iron sharpeneth iron. Help us as Harvest men to do all we can to set a godly example here at church as well as at home and in our community. Father, I pray that you'd be with my friend, Brother Rob, as he's home still under the weather. Pray that you can just bless him, comfort his body, restore his strength. Lord, I pray the antibiotics will do its work that it needs to do so he'll be back at full strength soon. Be with Tony and Marlene, who are out of town and traveling. I pray that you'd give them traveling mercies and safety and help them to enjoy their time while they're away. And now, Father, we also pray for our ladies here at Harvest. What a blessing they are for the participation they have in our services and encouraging their pastor and his wife and being involved in other ministries. We're so grateful for them. Father, we're grateful for those who are involved directly in ministry, those that are seen, and some that are behind the scenes ministering and serving just to be a blessing and help. Father, thank you for those who serve in the choir, children's church, the nursery, those that are guarding our parking lot and our buildings during our service. Such a blessing to know that we have men and families that are willing and ready to serve their church family. We pray your blessings upon them this morning. Lord, I pray you'll bless our special music as Michelle and Miss Cheryl will come and sing for us in a moment and the reading of your word. May the songs prepare our hearts and minds as we prepare for the preaching of your word this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd help me, give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Help me this morning with what you have helped me with in my time in private and study. Lord, I preach the word of God with power and with boldness, with no concern of what others may feel or to think, Lord, but just knowing that I'm being obedient unto you. And Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved. And on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian that just needs to be encouraged, Lord, be encouraged this morning. And maybe one that just needs to be challenged and to get their attention, Lord, about their life, their lifestyle, or maybe them heading in the direction they should not be heading. Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit would do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do in the hearts and minds of your people this morning. Father, again, help me. I need your help this morning. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. As we make our way through the book of Jude, we're on verse number 4 this morning. Jude chapter 1 and verse number 4. We'll read our text this morning, and then our special music will come, and then we'll have our preaching. The Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful thing the Bible teaches that we are forever His. Amen. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust you'll consider doing that today before you leave our services. So good to know that I have a home in eternity. I remember some time ago, my mom and dad live in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Pray for my dad. I shared with this morning, his cancer is back, and they're going to have to do some more scans of prostate cancer. It's not looking good, but they're hoping to do a scan to find out how much it has spread, so you pray for him. But dad says, I'm ready to go. I'm 82 years young. I've lived a good life. I'm ready to go if that's the Lord's will for my life. But I can remember 20-some years ago coming across Solway, and you have no idea what I'm talking about, coming from Knoxville, going across Solway Bridge, and over to the right, dad would point over there and said, son, one of these days they're going to bury me right over in the hill. But that they may put a shell in there, but I'm going to be in heaven. I may have had to pay some money to get that plot of land to put me in, but many years ago I bowed my head and prayed and repented of my sins, and I've reserved my home in heaven. So if you have that confidence, security this morning, praise God. If you don't, let me assure you that you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven according to the Word of God. I'm happy to meet with you, talk with you, and help you in that area if you have any questions. All right, we've had some good music this morning. We've had our special music. We've had our we've read our text and we've said our prayers. So let's go ahead and get rolling this morning. Here as we look at the verse 4 of the book of Jude, we'll look at the sinful desires of the apostate. Isn't it a shame today that we still have apostates among us? But the Word of God warns us of that, and we'll look at that this morning. The sad thing about it, there's also those who are not only apostates, but are those that are just weak, carnal Christians that have not established and grown in the Lord and act the way that they should not act. See, Jude is talking about here about wicked and apostate men who infiltrate the church. Please don't misunderstand me, ladies. You're not eliminated. When I say men in the context of what I'm preaching about, it's people. It's men and women in general, not just men. So remember, the apostate seeks to destroy the church. So, which notice this morning, some of the sinful desires or traits of these ungodly men. We'll look at, I think, four of these this morning. Number one, they're sneaky. Just make it plain, simple English. They're sneaky. In first part of verse 4, are certain men crept in or snuck in unawares. This phrase, crept in unawares, means to settle in alongside, to enter secretly, a slip in stealthy. In other words, they pretend to be just like you, come along and act like you, to slip in just to gain your confidence, just to get in. You see, these apostates secretly settle in alongside the congregation with their wicked intentions known only to themselves. See, they come to church, they sit in the worship services, they sit in Sunday school classes, they attend the church fellowships and the church activities, pretending to be one of you or just like you. They become part of the everyday life of the church, except for one important thing: they are imposters. These apostates are not present for the good of the church, but for the destruction of the church. See, an apostate is a sneaky crook who has no honor. Just like a robber, he does not announce his intentions when he enters your home. An apostate does not tell you of his evil intentions. He is too cunning or too sneaky for that. His intentions is to go unnoticed while doing the wicked deed. See, there are almost always tares among the wheat. Someone has well said, wherever God sets up a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel nearby. They are sneaky. And then number two this morning, they are condemned. Remember, Jude is challenging us, wants to make us aware of what's going on as he writes to the churches at this time that can be applied to us today without any doubt. We see these men were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Dear friends, rest assured of this. The apostate's work will be met with the judgment of God. The word ordained here, this part of our verse, comes from the Greek word prographo, which means to write previously or to announce. The idea is to report or to announce in advance. So the Word of God has warned us in advance that there would be apostates to deal with. Let me give you an example. You're driving down the road, and for me, when I have to really watch my speedometer, because you get out on the speedway, I mean I-10, you don't have to worry about the speed limit out there. But when you get off our exit and you get on the Sun Valley Parkway and you're going down the road, maybe a little above the speed limit, have to watch your speed, and there's someone coming the opposite direction and you see their light flashing. What does that mean? There's a police car up above. It doesn't matter what state you're in across the U.S. Somebody flashes those lights during the day, it's because, hey, there's a police officer, you better slow down. And Judah's telling us right here, look out, there are apostates out there. They desire to be a part of the church. They want to sneak in. Even though the Bible says they are condemned, they are pointed out. We need to be aware that they're there, they're alive, they're awake, they're alert, and they're enthusiastic about the deeds they desire to commit. Dear friends, we need to rest assured of this, that apostates' work will be met again with the judgment of God. See, the Word of God warns us. Jesus warned them in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are raving wolves." Again, they're telling you, they sneak in. They're coming in as raving wolves. They are clothed in sheep's clothing. And here in this passage in Matthew 7:15, the word raving wolves, or the word raving, means praying with rapacity or voraciously devouring. In other words, they want to gobble you up. It's like some of you guys on Thanksgiving meal when you fasted for 3 days before Thanksgiving. They just tear everything off and eat it to the bone. It's exactly the way they are, and their intentions to destroy the church. What a description of what these men desire to do to the local church. They desire to totally swallow you up. In his Olivet Discourse concerning the end times, Jesus warned 3 times about false Christ and false prophets. Notice in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, verse 11, and verse number 24. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." In other words, they're so crafty, they're so knowledgeable, they'll trick even the most educated, the most alert, the most informed. Even pastors must be aware and must be alert of those that sneak in. I know we've got several. I'm going to get off the path here, and this is not one of those that just came to me, but it did just come to me. I've been here now for about 3.5 years, and some of you are fairly new, have come later after I've been here. Some of you will remember this, some of you will not, but here's a good example. We had a young couple that visited our church with 2 small children and 1 on the way. Everyone was real excited about this young family. They wanted to get involved. They were energetic, and then I found out where he's coming from. And then I did my research about the church where he's coming from and what they believe doctrinally. And I found out they were not like us. They were not among us, but they were trying to infiltrate us. This church here in the Phoenix Valley is known to send couples out of their church into other churches trying to stir up problems or to take over the church that they might move in and take over. I did my research. I'm responsible as a pastor. So I had a conversation. I confronted him about where he came from, what he believed, and what his pastor believes he's coming from, and said, "I disagree with that because of this." And I went through the scripture with him and told him, "We will not stand for this, and you are not welcome here if you cannot rebuke and refute the belief of the church you're coming from. If you're still of them, go back to them. If you're not of them and you're coming up, then we'll embrace you and we'll talk about it." Well, at least he had the integrity and said, "Well, I can't argue with my present pastor or the church. We'll just go back." I praise the Lord for that. But this made Jude, verse 4, come alive to me. And I shared some of this with some of our church family just a little over about 1.5 years ago, I think, that it took place. Dear friends, don't think that it doesn't take place. It does. I'm not telling you need to be very careful about people that are coming in to visit. We should embrace and love on them, but we also should be aware and alert. And that's why I always try to find out where they are coming from, where their former church membership is, why they had to leave, whether it's moving or another problem, because I think it's important for a pastor to know these things. The book of 2 Peter, we see that Peter spoke strongly about these apostates in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom they, from whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Notice these false prophets and false teachers were making merchandise of God's people. The term make merchandise comes from the word emporiumi, which carries the idea of using a person or a thing for gain. It is where we get our English word emporium, which speaks of a place of business where profit is sought, like a department store. So apostates are in the business of destroying God's people and hindering the work of Christ. Notice again, if you would, they are in the church, not outside. These are dangerous people described, Paul describes as wolves. Look at Acts chapter 20, at verse 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, as of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. See, the bottom line is that these deceivers are not interested in advancing the kingdom. They are looking to destroy it and use it for their own personal gain. Dear friends, apostates are sneaky. They are condemned, but also, number three, they are ungodly. Again, in verse 4, the third part of verse 4, Jude describes apostates as ungodly men. Again, ungodly men or women. Vine's Expository Dictionary gives a definition of the word ungodly as without reverence for God, not merely irreligious, but acting in violation of God's commands and God's demands. Apostates talk about the things of God. They know all the theological terms. They know how to act. They read books. They discuss doctrine and put on a general appearance of being a good Christian. But in their hearts, they know not God. Many are fooled by the appearance and speech of these ungodly apostates. Dear friends, we must remember that the devil is a good actor. I wish pastors did not have to stand in their pulpits and preach against things to say, look out and watch out about other people pretending to be something they're not. But if we did not give the warning sign, we did not tell you about what's going on, then we would be lax, we would be unworried, unconcerned, and before we know it, we might realize that we've become surrounded. It's important that we know the Word of God, protect the Word of God, know our home, know our house, know our pastor, know our church, as well as protect it. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 and 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great things in this ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, these people have the general appearance and makeup of a Christian, but they have not been born again according to Scripture. And by nature, they are children of the devil working against God. This is not my words. This is what the Bible says. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Dear friends, apostates are sneaky, but yet they are condemned and don't even realize it, and they are ungodly. And next we see they are corrupt. Before we go a little further into corruption, let me back up just for a moment and reference to that ungodly. Dear friends, sometimes it's hard to believe and talk to someone who seems to know the Scripture, seems to know things are going well, seems to be fitting right in, but yet they can still be ungodly at the same time. Think about for a moment. What did Satan use in the Garden of Eden with Eve? He used Scripture. I mean, he even had the audacity to tempt Christ and telling him he would make him rule over all this thing. When he's the one that created it to begin with. Don't think for a moment that Satan will not use others, those who are against Christ, who are anti-Christ, to infiltrate the church or infiltrate a country, to infiltrate a corporation, to try to change or to take over what's going on. Yes, they are sneaky, they are condemned, they are ungodly, but also they are corrupt. The next portion of verse number 4. Apostates are guilty of turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Apostates are corrupting the precious things of God, namely His grace. See, the word lasciviousness means looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness. See, the prominent idea here is shameless conduct. It refers to those who have absolutely no shame for the wicked acts that they plan to commit or they plan to be involved with. We see this today, dear friends. We live in a time of unrestrained lust. Even those who profess to be God's people are using the excuse of being under grace to justify their lifestyles. It always concerns me when I hear people say, well, I have the liberty or the grace to do this. I think they're taking the scripture out of context. The idea here is that they turn the grace of God into a license to live their ungodly lifestyles. Jews stated that by living in such a way, they were denying the only Lord Jesus, denying the only Lord in our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, you cannot live for the pleasures of sin of this world and claim Christ as your personal Savior. Don't misunderstand me. We're talking about apostates this morning, but let me help you a little bit. There are some very carnal Christians who also take advantage of a liberty they think they have or the grace of God. Some of that is because they haven't been discipled. Some of that because they haven't been under this preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. They have never been discipled, and they're winging it, so to say, and they have not been fully taught. Dear friends, sometimes it's hard to sit under good gospel preaching and teaching that goes against what you've always thought or you've always believed when you have to see it in Scripture and realize, hey, that's wrong. I need to change. But yet I can't believe how many people sit in churches week after week, day after day, and hear a feel-good sermon. Yeah, they walk the aisle. They repented of their sins and they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They got a hug and a handshake, maybe went through the baptistry and told them to be faithful, try to come to service when and if you can. But there's no depth. There's no preaching. There's no teaching. There's no look out. Because, dear friends, just because you trust Christ as your personal Savior, it does mean you're on the road to heaven. It does mean you have a place reserved, but it's just the beginning of the battle that takes place in the life of a believer. It's important that we are prepared and that we are equipped to live in this world below. And that means we need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize what is right and what is wrong. Not the best example, but I tell you this. There are rules to the road. I realize speed limit is not one of those in this part of the valley, but there are stop signs. There are yield signs. Construction signs. There are detours. That's the word I'm looking for. I kept thinking the word in Russian and German. There are detour signs. There are things to direct you and to redirect you and give you an idea. Try to get off on Buller now because of Buc-ee's and see what happens. There's no telling where you will end up. But there's supposed to be some signs and some detours to help you to maneuver around that, to make traffic flow for better as people get used to and get over this amazing thing called Buc-ee's. And after everyone gets through gawking and looking at it, traffic will get back to normal. But until then, it's going to be chaos through there. And dear friends, if we don't get into the Word and get grounded in the truth, your life is going to be full of chaos on this world below. There's going to be all types of detour signs the devil's going to throw up. There's going to be a lot of those what ifs that Satan throws up to get you distracted and keep you out of the house of God. Yes, dear friends, when a Christian lives according to the standards and pleasures of the world, his very lifestyle denies that Jesus is his Lord and his Savior. Yes, God's people do have liberty, but it is a liberty that comes with much responsibility. Yes, we have liberty, but are we functioning and working properly and taking on the responsibility? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Hold on here, listen. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Paul clearly refutes the misconceptions that so many carnal people adhere to today, that liberty is a license to sin. No, it's not. While they do not use that exact terminology, that is in the essence what they practice and what they teach. See, liberty is never a license to live unrestrained life. It is an incentive to live a holy life to the glory of God. Dear friends, how are we doing as believers in that area? Let's not be like the world. As the Bible says, let's come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Apostates, they are sneaky, they're condemned, they're ungodly, they're corrupt. And then lastly, they are deniers of the Lord. I'm going to step off here again, and this is absolutely free. It's not in my notes. I have a great concern in the world that we live in today. I don't want to put a number, but if I want to guess, I would guess that maybe, let's just take America. Let's just make it a little more real. Let's make it Arizona. And I'm sure other states can be involved. I would dare to say that we probably don't have 60% of those who profess to be believers to be sincere in their faith, living a life wholly separated unto the Lord. Yes, there are the sinful desires of the apostates, but there's also some carnal Christians that live in our world today that doesn't help matters. Let me tell you, I don't spend time in my office for my health. It's for study and prayer and preparation for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Getting a topic together, unless one of the men run with it on Tuesday morning to have discussion. I do it to help and to minister and to shepherd to our congregation. I do it with much fear and trepidation. Lord, please lead me, guide me, give me wisdom. And for the first time in my life as a pastor, I'm preaching expositorily through the Bible. I did a lot of topical preaching when I was overseas ministering to the military. And since I've come here at Harvest, I'll be honest with you, because some things that were said by some that are no longer here, making accusations about some of the topics or things that I were preaching on. And the Lord brought it back to my remembrance that, you know, if you just preach to the Bible, they can never blame anyone but me. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, just whatever's the next verse is the next verse. You want to know what we're doing next week? Take a sneak peek at verse 5. But I said all that to say this. If I don't stand here and say, look out, can you imagine? Let's go back to the Bullard Avenue. Can you imagine if there were no signs out there at all? Can you imagine if there's no one trying to direct you to go down the road to make the U-turn to come back? So, preacher, how do you know this? I ain't been down there. I don't plan to, because I've heard other people complain about it. I'm staying away for at least 6 weeks, and then I'll go down Yuma, sneak in the back way. But what I'm saying is, it's chaos out there. And we don't need Christians contributing to it, because they're taking liberty the wrong way in their life. They're abusing the grace of God, which is not sending the right signal for those that are looking for the truth. They're not sending the right signal for young believers who are growing grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember when I was a teenager, I was excited, played high school football, played high school baseball, played in college, played for the military overseas. I was one of two Caucasian guys on a team full of Puerto Ricans called the Mannheim Amigos playing in Germany. We had a ball playing ball. I enjoyed the sport. I still enjoy it, just can't do it like I used to. Throughout my shoulder, throughout my both knees, been replaced, but I still enjoy playing with my grandkids. But I remember being so focused on sports and on other things. And then somewhere along the way, the Lord had to get my attention for me to regroup and understand that there's other things more important than baseball. It was my church. It was my pastor. It was my congregation. It was my youth group. I can remember my youth pastor pulling me aside and saying, of course, those of you who are visiting, my name is Douglas MacArthur Cook Jr. I was called Mac growing up. And they pulled me aside. He said, Mac, whether you like it or not, you're a leader in this youth group. We've got folks, we've got teenagers in our group that are saved. We've got teenagers in our group that are lost. We've got apostates in the world that are doing their portion. We need to make sure that we're counterbalancing that by doing all we can. He looked me in the eye. Can you believe that? My youth pastor looked me in the eye at 17 years old and told me, are you living up to it? Or are you a failure in your walk? Man, that didn't sit very well with me. Especially as a 17-year-old kid that thought he could charge hell with two water pistols and put it out if it needed to be. I was wrong. I woke up and I realized, and it wasn't long after that that I realized, of course, the Lord had allowed me to throw out my shoulder, have surgery, and then dislocate it. Then I knew my career was over. But he had to do some things in my life to get my attention at a young man that led me in a different direction. And I'm so glad that it did. Dear friends, the apostates don't need any help for believers. Let me challenge you and encourage you, stay in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with other believers. When you're not working and you're not providentially hindered, your health doesn't prevent you, be in the house of God where the doors are open that you might fellowship. Encourage someone else, and along the way you might find out you get encouraged as well. Because Satan the devil is doing all he can to destroy churches across the country as well as our country in general. Once upon a time, England was the number one sender of missionaries around the world. Then America became the number one sender of missionaries around the world. And guess where America is sending missionaries to now? England, the United Kingdom. That's where our source of missionaries were. I don't want that to change in America. I don't want it to come to a point where the other countries are having to send preachers here to preach the gospel because there's not enough of them preaching it now. And let me say this, there's not enough of them preaching it now. There's a lot of pretenders. There's a lot of paycheck. But wouldn't it be nice to preach one day a week and collect a good salary? But dear friends, there's responsibility that comes of not just being a pastor, but being a Christian, of living the Christian life. That there's a distinct difference between us and the apostate. And dear friends, if you're a carnal Christian and the apostate can't tell if you're one of them or a Christian, there's an issue with your walk and it needs to change. They are deniers of the Lord. Let's move on. Now that I've meddled with you a little while, let's move on to our last point. The last part of verse number 4. Denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude now points out the apostate's creed. This is the foundation of the apostate's problem. Here, the word Lord in our scripture reference here, it means supreme in authority. And it speaks of Jesus' supreme authority and sovereignty. You see, the Laodicean age rejects all form of authority. The apostates cry out in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Dear friends, I hope there are no Christians who believe they have need of nothing, including the Lord Jesus in that, including the Lord and his sovereignty in that phrase. You see, they deny Christ his right to rule in their lives. The word God speaks of Christ's supreme divinity. Another trait of the apostates is to deny the deity of Christ, making him just another creature. You see, apostates refuse to submit to God and give him his rightful place of the sovereign Savior. Dear friends, the apostates reject and deny him now, but the day is coming. The day is coming. My Bible tells me that the day is coming in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Dear friends, why wait until it's too late when you can confess Jesus Christ as Lord right now, today, if you never put your faith and trust in him? If you're here today and you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, but maybe you've taken a license to sin. Maybe you've taken some liberty. Maybe you're not living up to the grace of God in your life. Dear friends, that's easy to resolve. You repent of your sins and say, Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friend, my desire, of course, my biggest concern is our whole world, but my local desire is here at Harvest Baptist Church that everyone that walks through these doors, that spends time in any part of our service, that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. And if they don't know, it's only because they haven't followed instructions or taken the time for someone else to talk with them and pray with them one more time. but also have a concern for those who have put their faith and trust. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you desiring to come out from among them to be separate, saith the Lord? Do you desire, as Jude writes here in verse 4, to not be confused with the apostate because you want to live a life for Christ? Dear friends, I'll warn you, but then we'll get ready to close. It's not an easy task. It's not easy doing the right thing all the time. It's not easy living for the Lord all the time. You'll take your bumps and your bruises. You'll take the criticism. You'll take the teasing. But I tell you what, dear friends, payday is coming one day. The bottom line is, if you honor God, He will honor you. When I was playing high school football, and I'll close with this example, Michelle, if you want to make your way to the piano. We had a coach. His name was Emory Hill. We won the state championship my junior and senior year. Football, go ahead, Michelle, the piano. And we practiced hard. We had our games on Friday night. We had films Sunday afternoon between church services. Yeah, between church services. We practiced on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Full pads, full contact. On Thursday, we usually wore just our helmets and our jerseys and went through plays, kind of a time of rest and not contact, but we still ran laps before and after practice. But during the week, he pushed and he pushed and he pushed and he pushed. And we often hear him say, gentlemen, you play like you practice. If you're going to sit out here and just play around and cut up and you don't need business, why don't you just go on back up to the locker room, turn in your equipment, and go play soccer. It's not a slam on those who play soccer, forgive me, but just, there is two different types of football, amen? And he would drill that and drill that and drill that into us. You play like you practice. Dear friends, as believers, we will live a life of Christ the way we prepare for it. And that means getting into the Word. Being in church when you can and not providentially hindered. Being around other believers who sharpen, encourage you, and challenge you. Let me give you an example. Man, I forgot. What chapter are you on? Yes, 5. For those of you who don't know, young Damien got assurance of his salvation last week. We talked a little bit, gave him a discipleship book, and I told him, I'm going to ask you every church service what chapter you're on. Dear friends, we need people like that in our life. You need someone in your life. Even though you may be asking someone else, you need to do that. My pastor, I still call him my pastor, even though I pastor a church. He pastors at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, Oliver Springs. He's been there 50-plus years, and we talk every once in a while. He'll call me, I'll call him, and he'll ask me how I'm doing. How the services, how's the preaching? He says, you're not tiptoeing through the tulips, are you? He wants to know if I'm preaching. Are you preaching, teaching? Or are you preaching? He pushes me. He challenges me. And we all need someone like that in our life. And you need to be like that for someone else in your life. Because, dear friends, the apostates are there. And there should be a distinct difference between a believer and a follower of Christ than the apostate. Or the non-believer. So, dear friends, are we preparing to live a right way? Are we living a life that's not pleasing unto God because we're not preparing ourselves on a daily basis? And, dear gentlemen, some of us have a little gray in our hair, and some of us have lost a little bit, or some of us lost more than others. Amen, Brother T? Some of us lost more than others. But the bottom line is, we should not lose a step, though we grow older physically in our Christian walk. And there's others around us that need to glean and learn from what we have to offer them. And part of that is them seeing what we do. Moms, dads, have got kids in the nursery and in children's ministry. They need to be in church too. They need a mom and dad living for Christ. And they need to come to church and see other men and women living for Christ and encouraging them and challenging them in the Word. They need godly examples because, dear friends, if your kids are in the public school system, they ain't going to get it there. They're not going to get it in your neighbor and your community. They're going to get it at the house of God. So why not get them here as often as you possibly can? Get them involved. And you be involved in ministry as well. We need more families involved in ministry and willing to cooperate and help and rotate and be involved because we've got a younger generation coming up. If the Lord tarries his return. And dear friends, if we don't shift into another gear, things are going to continue to wax worse and worse and worse. Because as Jude tells us, and as Jude rewarns us, the apostates are among us. We don't need to fear. We just need to be aware, and we need to do our part and allow the Holy Spirit to take care of the rest. So, dear friends, are you doing your part? Are you doing the best that you can? Are you preparing to live a separated life, holy unto the Lord, that it might glorify Him? Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning in any way. Why hesitate and put off to another time when maybe today is the time that you need to go before the Lord in prayer? If you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not allow today be your day of salvation? The Lord has spoken to your heart, dear Christian, about some things in your life that could improve. Some things in your life maybe that you need to shed. Do you need to evaluate if you're taking liberty and taking advantage of the grace of God? You pray this morning, the altars are open. If it's just to come and say, Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the word that we hear week in and week out that challenges from the word of God. And just say, thank you, Lord, whatever the Spirit of God directs you to do. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Would you work in the hearts and lives of your people that they may respond and be obedient unto thee? Lord, I pray there's anyone here today that questions their salvation, that they would get that settled today. Dear Lord, please have your way during this time in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed just for a few moments. If you need to talk to the Lord there where you stand or here at an altar, if you'd like someone to pray with you, just come forward and let me know. We're happy to do that. But you do business with the Lord this morning. Savior is a gracious, patient, holy God. And dear friends, don't put off to tomorrow if there's something that you need to deal with today. Whether it's coming to the Lord for salvation or whether it's just as a Christian, maybe straighten some things up in your life. Maybe there's some things that need to be a little more orderly, dress right dress, as we say in the military. Maybe some things that you just need to straighten up and to correct. Whatever it is, why not just give it to the Lord? Seek out accountability and encouragement to help you to tighten up and do the right thing. Your wife needs it, gentlemen. Your children need it. And your Heavenly Father expects it of you. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. I'll make my way to the back here in just a moment. And as always, remember that God loves you and your preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. If you'd like to get with me sometime and talk about the church, you have some questions, all you have to do is ask. I'm happy to give you my private cell number as long as you don't give it to a telemarketer. We'll be good. But I'll be happy to meet with you and talk with you if you have any questions.